Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would teach us, that you would help us, that you would remind us of what we are doing in this season and where we find our joy and our hope. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When businessman Alan Emery was in the wool business, he once spent an evening with a shepherd on the Texas prairie. During the night, the long wail of the coyotes pierced the air. The shepherd's dogs growled and peered into the darkness. The sheep, which had been sleeping, lumbered to their feet, alarmed and bleating pitifully. The shepherd tossed more logs onto the fires, and the flames shot up higher. In the glow, Alan looked out and saw thousands of little lights, and he realized that those were reflections of the fire in the eyes of the sheep. In the midst of danger, he observed, the sheep were not looking out into the darkness, but they were keeping their eyes set in the direction of their safety, looking toward their shepherd. Imagine that. When they're scared, they don't look out at what scares them. They don't focus on what they can't see. They don't stare into the darkness. Instead, they look in towards the one who gives them comfort, in toward the one who makes them feel close, in towards the one who keeps them safe. How odd. Because when we're afraid, we often focus on the source of our fears. We'll focus on what we can't see. We'll often focus on the darkness. We'll often focus on our fears because we want to be ready for whatever might be coming. And what's more, we assume it's simply a better way to live. But is it? I wonder. I mean, at first, that story probably struck you as odd. I mean, these sheep sure seem pretty dumb. Like the mighty ostrich who gets scared and buries its head in the sand, thinking that if it doesn't see the danger doesn't exist. But you'll notice that that's not what the sheep are doing. They aren't avoiding the sight of danger. Instead, they are choosing to be intentional about focusing on the source of their safety. I wonder which way you look when you're worried or when you're scared. You see, sometimes I think that our instinct tells us to focus on our fears, but when we do, they tend to grow out of proportion. It's almost like focusing on our fears gives them power, gives them license, the space even to grow and grow and grow and become manifest in our lives. Of course, what makes the darkness particularly scary is that you can't see what's out there. You don't know what's there, and you aren't in control. And all of those things can make us feel so alone. But again, I wonder if you ever feel afraid of the darkness. And when you do, I wonder which way you look. This brings us to our series and passage. Today we continue our Advent series as we move toward Christmas. And as we've been talking about, the Christmas story is actually surprisingly filled with fear. And now some of that is due simply to the fact that angels keep appearing suddenly out of nowhere. And that's not it wasn't normal then, it's not normal now. It would have been strange. Probably also a little bit terrifying. But more than that, there are some deeper fears that seem to lie beneath this story. And if we're being honest, they look a lot like some of the fears that we experience as well. Fears like the fear of missing out, the fear of being found unworthy, the fear of failure, the fear of darkness, the fear of conflict, and more. And yet, as we've been talking about, 1 John tells us that there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Again, it says perfect love drives out fear. Maybe this is particularly poignant and even helpful during this season, since our fears tend to become amplified during the holidays. And yet this is also the season in which we remember how love became personified and actualized in the coming of Jesus. And maybe this is why during this season we need to remember that love has come, because love does drive out fear. And maybe this is why we need to prepare again for the coming of Jesus in our lives, because sometimes we let the fear win. But that's not the story of Christmas. So if you would, I would invite and encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. One of the images that travels throughout the Christmas story, from the prophecies all the way to the star, is this image of light shining into the darkness. A lot of the language that we've been using around the Advent wreath this year is centered around that imagery of light and dark. And just some of the many prophecies are all seemingly about seeing in the dark. I was blind, now I see. It was dark, but then a light has dawned. Of course, the fear of the darkness may also be one of the most common, most cross-cultural, even relatable fears. It's simply being afraid of the dark. The inability to see, the not knowing, the uncertainty, the loneliness, the waiting. And yet all throughout the Advent and Christmas stories, we are told again and again of a light shining in the darkness. We are told of the hope that comes when there was none. We're told of God with us, even in and maybe despite the darkness. So I want us to look at this a little bit more closely, that fear of darkness in the coming light. And we'll do that John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. It reads like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Amen. I hope you saw it again. There's that darkness in the Christmas story again. I mean, obviously, the passage is really telling us about the light that comes into the darkness and a guy named John, and we'll get to all those things later. But the reality is that the state before all of that, the one in which our world exists, the one we even sometimes find ourselves in, is one of darkness. A darkness that confuses and unsettles, a darkness that's overwhelming, a darkness that even makes us feel alone. And of course, the gospel writer is echoing the prophet Isaiah, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, light has dawned. I wonder if you know what I'm talking about. I wonder if you've ever found yourself in a season of darkness. I wonder if you've ever been facing something that looked pretty dark. Maybe you're coming to a point in your life where a change is coming, but because of the drasticness, the severity of this change, it feels more like a cliff you're going to have to jump off of. Frankly, for some of you, you maybe have already jumped off and you still feel like you're falling. The decision's been made, but you still can't quite see what's coming. Either way, the cliff seems so high. The change seems so radical that there's just no telling what's going to come next. I mean, you can plan and you can hope and you can research and you can prepare and you can even pray. But even with all of that, you still can't see what's coming. You can't see beyond that point of no return because you don't know what's there. And so you feel stuck. Stuck in the darkness, as it were. So you don't know what to do, and you find yourself scared. You find yourself just staring at that unknown. Or maybe for you it feels different, the darkness. For you, when you're in a season of darkness, it's less how scary the unknown can be, and simply how alone you feel in it. This person went this way, that person went that way, this group became that group, and you feel like you were left. You simply find yourself alone. Maybe you're facing something challenging, something dangerous, something difficult, and you really think you'd be strong enough to make it through if you weren't the only one. And the problem is the darkness makes you feel like you are. There's something about darkness that amplifies our loneliness. Maybe you know that kind of darkness. Or maybe for you it's something different entirely. Everything in life was going fine, everything was going great, everything was going well, until suddenly it wasn't. Something came out of nowhere, and it seems like more than you can bear. A change at work, a fight, a medical diagnosis, a divorce, a death. And now you just feel overwhelmed, out of control, lost. Maybe for you, this is the form that the darkness is taking. Though there's another side of this one too. Maybe it's not so acute. It's less being plunged into darkness, and instead it's been more gradual. A little bit more work there, another project here, something extra after, a change before, and all of a sudden you feel yourself simply in over your head. You feel like you've lost your footing. You feel like you're drowning, and you wonder, how have things gotten this dark? I wonder if you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about this kind of darkness. Of course, it's into this kind of darkness that the prophet Isaiah says that there are people simply walking in darkness, that people are simply living in the land of deep darkness. And a light has shined. But again, we'll get there. Before we go on to try and understand and even get a better handle on this darkness, and especially the fear of darkness, we should first notice that it's not always a bad thing. Sometimes the dark is normal and natural. Difficult, but normal. What's more, the fear of the dark has been around since the beginning. And this makes sense on several levels, but the simplest is the most obvious. We humans are severely limited and handicapped by darkness. Quite simply, we can't see. And that worries us. But when this happens, sometimes our imaginations tend to fill in the gaps, which allow our fears to grow unchecked and become even unwieldy. frankly, often our worry and our hypotheticals and our imaginings always are far worse than reality could ever be. In fact, I've recently come to appreciate the Stoic tradition of facing the worst of your fears as a hypothetical. What if the absolute worst happened? What would I do? And then when you find that you would have something you could do, and then you could do something else, and you could respond to that, and then maybe you could do something after that, sometimes you realize that maybe even that isn't as debilitating. Again, your imagination can always make it worse than reality. Maybe sometimes it's helpful to demystify our fears, to shine some light, as it were, on them. In a related way, what I find interesting is that most of the time, it's not that people are scared of the dark. It's more that we have some hidden fears that hide in the dark. And here's what I mean. One of the first fears of darkness is really just the fear of the unknown. You can't see in the dark. And we are so used to navigating our world and our understanding through our sight that when that's taken away, we feel helpless. What's more, our imagination, again, has a tendency to go into overdrive during these times because we can always think of a worse nightmare. I remember years and years ago hearing an interview by the director M. Night Shyamalan, who made some suspenseful, maybe even some horror films at some point. And I just remember him making the point, I try so hard to never show the thing that's scary for as long as possible in the movie, because your imagination is always scarier than what the prop guys can do. I mean, we can make some pretty scary things, but if we don't show it, you can come up with something far scarier if you just let your imagination go. Part of our fear of the darkness is simply the fear of the unknown. But a second fear of the darkness is the fear of being alone. You see, when it gets dark, it's hard to know that there are others there in the darkness with you. Because as the darkness presses in, so does your focus, and so does your fear. And quickly, it feels like it's all up to you, and you aren't enough. And again, the imagination goes into overdrive as well. In the same way that our lack of sight multiplies the potential threats, our imagination also minimizes and even removes the potential support. Very quickly, when you're in the darkness, you start to feel yourself separated from anyone around you who could help. Part of our fear of the darkness is the fear of being alone. And then the third fear of the darkness is that fear, simply that fear of not being in control. At its root, darkness is scary because it's overwhelming. Because we can be overwhelmed. It's hard to assess or manage the situation when it's dark. It's hard to prepare or orient when it's dark. It's hard to hope. And so we feel unstable. We feel uncertain. We feel insecure. And we worry or even conclude that the darkness will prevail. Oftentimes when we are afraid of the dark, it's not because we're afraid of the dark. It's because we're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of being alone. We're afraid of simply not being in control. And then we remember our passage. Then we remember this season. Then we remember that there's a light shining in the darkness. Or as I mentioned earlier, we remember that love drives out fear. And this is what we have found in our reading today. Because somehow the coming of Jesus changes everything and systematically undoes each and every fear found in the darkness. And here's what I mean. The first fear of the darkness that we spoke about a moment ago is the fear of the unknown. And yet, as our passage tells us, it's into this darkness, into this unknown, that Christ shines light. You see, God knows our plight. He knows how lost and afraid we can feel when we can't see. And so it's into this darkness that he shines his light. He gives us a way to orient, a way to navigate, a way to evaluate, a way to assess. Because the reality is that oftentimes if you have something to hold on to, something that is known, it can start to put everything else into perspective. And this is what God's light does to a people living in darkness. But then more than that, God also deals with the second fear of darkness, the fear of being alone. The reality is that God knows that people will abandon us, that relationships can become undone, that we won't always be enough for each other. Worse still, we often are the ones with the sharp edges. We are the ones who won't try again. We are the ones who turn away. And so the reality is that we will never be the best solution for the loneliness problem. Which is why God came up with a more elegant solution. Something a bit more radical and way more permanent. Our passage tells us that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. See, it wasn't enough for God to be up there. He wanted to dwell here. He wanted to be among us. Even the people who live sometimes in the darkness. In other words, He wanted to make us not alone ever again. Because God is with us. And then the third fear of the darkness that this passage addresses is that fear of not being in control. The fear of being overwhelmed. And this is our fear that there's something greater in the darkness that's going to defeat us, going to beat us, going to disorient us. We're worried that there's something out there in the darkness that's going to win. But again, our passage tells us that the light that God sent to address the darkness was not overcome by it. In other words, the light was greater than the darkness, which means that we have someone on our side who has already triumphed on our behalf. Even when the world feels chaotic and dark, the darkness still cannot overpower or overcome the light of Christ. And this is how the light and love of Jesus Christ drives out. There's one more part of this passage, though, that I don't want us to miss. I mean, that would be a good sermon if I just ended it there and said amen and we could all go to Sunday school after this. But there's still a loose thread I think we should follow. Especially because hopefully you're not in the dark right now. I mean, don't get me wrong, life has a funny way of bringing these seasons around and around often enough. So it always will be relevant eventually. But what about if you just came out of the dark? Or aren't particularly worried about what's in the future right now? Well, while our passage talks a lot about this light and darkness, it also tells us that there's someone who has a lot to do with the light, but who also is not the light. Our passage also spends a lot of time telling us about John. It seems like John's job is to point people towards the light, to live in the light, and then to give witness to the light, to show people the way. And this is important because sometimes, even with the light being there, we lose our way. Sometimes the darkness can become a little bit too comfortable. Sometimes we simply get distracted. And so sometimes we need someone like John who sees the light, who then points us toward the light, and then who encourages us and leads us back to the light. And actually, we're told why this is so important, why we need people like John, because the reality is that sometimes we have trouble recognizing the light, and sometimes we have trouble receiving the light, which should strike you as odd. Because if you're living in darkness and there's light, it's hard to focus on much else. And if you're in darkness, what do you want more to receive than the light? And if anything, light tends to illuminate the darkness, helping more things become more clear. And yet the reality is that we do have trouble recognizing and receiving the light, which is why we need each other. Which is why we need each other to be John for us. You see, we need more Johns in our life to point out the way for us, to help us recognize that we're not alone, to help us recognize the light even when we don't want to see it. And what's more, we may need to be that kind of people. A people not just living in the light, but showing how that kind of life is different. A people who invite other people into the light. A people who share what they've found. As we recognize it and we receive it, we then also give witness to it for others, so that they might recognize and receive it as well. Because the reality is that we have a tendency to focus outward into the darkness when we're afraid. But what if we could be more like those sheep? That in the midst of our fears, we focus inward toward the light, toward our security, and towards the love of Christ. What if we could be the kind of people that point people in the right direction? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that despite our fears, despite the feelings of being overwhelmed and the feelings of the unknown, despite the fear of the darkness that sometimes we live in, a light is dawned. You have sent your Son into the world to be that light, to be the love that we need. We thank you also for John, who points the way to that light, and we pray that we also would be more like John, that we might see the light, that we might receive the light, and that we might witness to it, pointing others toward it as well. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for this season in which we can prepare ourselves for the coming of that light. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.